What do we do about people who don't pay their fines? Now, maybe they can't pay their fines. Maybe they won't pay their fines. But I want to explore this over the next little period on the morning program. Interested in your say as well. 922-11-882. Most of us, when we get a fine, we grit our teeth and we pay it. Some people just ignore them. They routinely ignore them. They flaunt them. They flout them. They are not interested in paying their fines. That frustrates the rest of us. For others, there are people who, for reasons of genuine economic hardship, simply cannot pay their fines. And often, there are other things going on in their lives that make it difficult to manage. Now, some of those people have ended up in jail. How many, we'll find out in a moment. The state government wants to review the way it deals with the fines system. And we remember the tragic case of Miss Dew, who ended up dead in police custody. She was there because of unpaid fines. No one in the legal system who dealt with her, magistrates and so on, ever sentenced her to a prison sentence. Nonetheless, she died in custody because of issues related to unpaid fines. The Attorney General is John Quigley. John, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth. Good morning, listeners.
Thank you for your time. So what do you want to do here?
Pleasure. Okay, so we're completely reforming the fines enforcement legislation to make the imprisonment for non-payment of fines an absolute last resort, and we'll be bringing in a lot of other measures to deal with those two categories of people to which you earlier referred, Gareth. The first category of people, that is those who just snubbed their nose at the system and couldn't be bothered paying their fine, well, they're in for a shock because we're bringing in what we call garnishee orders, where the sheriff will be able to garnishee money out of their bank account or serve upon their employer a notice of garnishee where the employer will be legally bound to send the money straight to the sheriff. And so there will be a stricter system of enforcement and recovering those who will not pay. Additionally, Gareth, we are bringing in a system of work and development orders so that a person who is in hardship and cannot pay can undertake a supervised work and development program. The work could be for a community organisation, which could become a registered supervising club, like a Rotary club or whatever, and the fine defaulter will have to go in and do work and be marked onto a computer program, which will be centrally audited. But that could also, the work and development orders could also include, in many cases, or in some cases, dealing with the underlying cause of the person getting the fine, that is drug or alcohol abuse, and so that undertaking a registered and thorough course on drug and alcohol abuse might also, in certain circumstances, be considered appropriate. But so what we're going to do is we're not going to use the present system to drive people into poverty, like which you referred earlier on. Miss Dew, don't forget, she died actually of injuries sustained in domestic violence.
Yep.
And there was a woman on the weekend who you know was taken into custody for non-payment of a fine, another Indigenous woman who rang the police for assistance because she was being assaulted.
Which is remarkable.
And when they attended, they found a name and said, you've got an outstanding warrant, into jail. Now, we've got to stop this madness, Gareth.
Okay, we'll talk more about that case in a moment because I'm interested, deeply interested in your view on how that was handled, but we'll explain that in a minute. How do we decide if someone is a fine flouter or a legitimate hardship case?
Well, there will be a fines registry that examines these cases, but ultimately, if the person doesn't, we're trying to manage them to pay the fine or, in the appropriate cases, undertake work and development programs. If all of that fails, then the person will be prosecuted for the failure of that offence, for the failure of participating in the program, and will be back before a magistrate. So no longer will be a clerk in a remote court signing the warrant of commitment. It'll have to go back before a magistrate, and only a magistrate will be able to impose a term of imprisonment, and only then, after he or she has examined the fine defaulter as to the true reasons for not paying. And as we've I've mentioned earlier, some of those reasons can include domestic violence.
Okay, so for the garnishee orders, how does that work? Who makes a garnishee order, and how much of someone's wages or their, you know, their welfare payments or whatever it might be is garnished?
Sure. That will be up to the fines registrar and how much they're assessed in terms of capacity. In terms of capacity, if you did mention social service payments, we haven't got there yet. That'll be up to the federal government. This bill that I'm introducing into Parliament today will facilitate garnishing social security payments as they do for child support.
If the federal government do it.
But with the federal government's got to do it, okay. But I'm including in this bill the facilitation of that if the federal government take it up.
And I think from memory they've indicated an intention to do so.
Yeah, and we'll have our legislation there ready to go hand in glove with it.
Right.
So we want to crack it.
Let's say I get paid, I don't know, I'll use a round number so it's easy. Let's say I get paid $1,000 a week and I've got $2,000 in unpaid fines. How much of my $1,000 a week would be garnished?
Well, I have to look at your assets and your liabilities there's some men who've got these fines who've also got child support orders against
them. Right.
And we don't want to then inadvertently punish the children because the money's not going through. These cases are going to be administered properly by the Department of Justice, strictly by the Department of Justice. What's happening at the moment is that we are putting people in prison for fine default. For the first 3 days we imprison them, it costs us $700 per day. Thereafter, about $320. So to go into prison for, say, 4 or 5 days, it's costing you and I to recover, to cut out a $1,000 fine at $250 a day, it's costing you and I about $3,000, $3,500, Gareth.
You're
in a remote area like Kununurra, if you've got a $1,000 fine outstanding, you've got to be flown down to a prison in Broome, and you've got to have custodial officers. I mean, so if this was a trading corporation, the directors would be locked up.
Okay. Now, if someone doesn't agree to their... What was the form of words? It's not a community service
work
order.
And development
a work and development order. If they don't comply with that work and development order, they end up back in front of a magistrate. What are the magistrate's options? Is a magistrate going to send them to jail?
The magistrate has the option of imprisonment. The magistrate has the option of imprisonment after examining the person's circumstances. So it won't be just like these warrants just get stamped by clerks of court who are ignorant as to the fine defaulter's personal circumstances. The husband might have taken all the money. You know, you just don't know. These warrants were just stamped as a matter of course and people taken into custody with huge disruption to their families. I can remember one woman had a baby breastfeeding and another child and called the police for assistance for domestic violence. When the police attended and realised her name, they arrested her on unpaid fines and left the baby there with the grandmother. And I couldn't, even my office as the Attorney General, could not get the registrar to exercise any discretion because of the way our legislation's written. And I might add, to our shame, that mother was free to go home to her baby that night, only because this hit national news and an anonymous Victorian benefactor, so appalled, paid the fine immediately and she was released.
Well, that's the story of Ms. Dickey, isn't it? That's been around in the last 24 hours. In brief, in brief, she 34 years old. She was arrested by police on Sunday when she went to a police station to make an assault complaint. So she had an arrest warrant out against her. She was $750 behind on her payment scheme for traffic fines, which I take to mean she probably had a significant traffic fine outstanding if she was $750 behind on a payment plan. Nonetheless, she reports to the police station because she's been assaulted, had her phone stolen. They then take her to the Melaleuca Remand and Reintegration Facility. She's released yesterday after a charity pays her fines.
Correct. That's another case. That's not the case that I was referring to. That's just another more recent example. of the way this system is working. And so what's the end result of that? Battered women in domestic violence situations, especially at the lower socioeconomic end of our society, will be too scared to call the police for assistance unless they themselves are arrested and taken from their children.
Some people who, I mean, none of us like getting a fine. We all get them from time to time, parking fine, speeding fine, whatever it is. Yep. I mean, there'd be very few people listening, I think, who haven't received a fine at some point. We don't like getting them. We grit our teeth. We pay them.
Correct.
Those people will say, well, why can't others just do that?
Sorry?
Some people will say, why can't others just do that? These people who have strings of unpaid fines, why can't they just do what I do, try and do the right thing and pay their fines?
Well, there are some people who are in such poor circumstances. We have a lot of people who are, especially in intersect with the criminal justice and traffic system, mentally sort of unstable and impaired. We've got a lot of people, as you would know, Gareth, it's a tragedy, especially through the Kimberley, of fetal alcohol syndrome disorder. And these people never develop cognitively beyond the age of about 12, no fault of their own, because mum took alcohol whilst they were in utero. There's a whole host of reasons. But what we're not going to do is keep on imprisoning people for non-payment. We will find better ways. New South Wales has had this system for over 10 years. Queensland has this system. We're not breaking sort of new ground. We are catching up.
Okay.
The system, the bill that I am introducing today, comes straight from the coroner's findings. Well, most of it comes from the coroner's findings in the Mr. Dew case.
Yep. Can I just ask one more question about this, John, before I let you go?
Sure.
Is there any fear that by removing the threat of jail in the first instance for non-payment of fines, that it may encourage people not to pay their fines?
Well, I think with the guarantee provisions, I think they'd be very very silly indeed, because as they will find out, the guarantee proceedings themselves are costly and will add weight to what they've got to pay. And their employer will get a registered notice saying you must deduct from Bill's wages X per week and send it to the fines office. And that's a better system than you and I putting them up at $700 a day for the first 3 nights and $300 a day thereafter. Let's grab their wages or money in their bank accounts.
Okay. John, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
John Quigley, the Attorney General.